where does he live? Where does victory live? Victory lives on the inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ. They thought they had him when they crucified him. They thought that it was the time for celebration. This troublemaker, this blasphemer, he's now dead, and now we can own the church again, and now we can rule. The Sadducees and the Pharisees thought they had the victory. And they made sure that the tomb was guarded so that the disciples could not steal the body and claim the victory and say that he is risen. But I'm trying to tell you that Jesus Christ, after 3 days, he was all the way dead, flatlined. He did not come off the cross at any time. They had to pull the nails out of his hands and his feet. He had to be carried to the tomb. He had to be placed in position. They put the burial clothes on him, the handkerchief over his face, and no man touched him again. No man shook him awake. No man rolled the stone and stole the body. Okay, but the only thing that was stolen that day, 3 days later, was the victory. And that victory is still alive today in you. You are not a defeated people. You belong to the kingdom of God. You are on victory's side. We must stop allowing the enemy to steal our sense of pride and victory. I don't know what it is about us at times that makes us feel so defeated. Every single situation, every single problem, we feel like, oh no, what am I going to do? And it's not what am I going to do. You've got to look inward and say, Lord, what are we going to do? And he's going to remind you about a day 2,000 years ago when he was risen from the dead and given all power over Satan. And the beautiful thing about it is Jesus Christ, he really is love. You see, because God is love because he so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Jesus is love because he so loved us that he gave us his life for us. And not only that, he wasn't finished. He also gave us all power and all authority over the enemy. But I'm here to tell you something. The devil's not going to tell you he's not allowed to wreak havoc in your life. He's not going to tell you that the fear that he's speaking into your life is not real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. No, I didn't coin that, but it's good. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Fear is not real. Fear is a lie. The word of God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that lets us know when we have that carnal hat on, that carnal mind, and fear comes, that's not what he gave us. That's not the gift of power. We don't have victory in the carnal mind, okay? All we can do with the carnal mind is try to figure it out. But the spiritual mind lets us know it's already been figured out. I've got peace right now. I know that victory's coming. And that's why the word of God says that the spiritual mind produces life and peace. Now, do you remember the man in the tombs that would cut himself? They called him a lunatic and crazy and demon-possessed, of course. But when they saw him with his clothes on and sitting there peaceably, they said, look at him, he's clothed and in his right mind. Or we can call it a sound mind. Or we can call it self-control. So, God, when we utilize the spiritual mind, he has given us power. Say power. Power. That means you're not hopeless. And the power that you have does not come from you. It's not dependent on you. God's power is attracted to your weakness. Do you understand that? You see, the devil wants you to fight from your own power because he knows it's just weakness. Do you understand that? He wants you to take the battle on yourself, but God does not want us to do that. He wants us to get into the spiritual mind, use the gift that he's given us, and when you catch yourself depressed, you've got to come to yourself. Come to yourself. How many will admit that sometimes depression tries to attack you and anxiety? Okay, in those moments, you gotta, no. No, I'm not wearing this today. I am not going to let another 24 hours pull me down. I will not spend another 24 hours sad or gloomy. I am not going to go to bed at 2 p.m. and just lay there when I've got the victory. I should be putting the devil to bed. You lay down. You are done wreaking havoc in my house and in my life. I have power over you. But listen, if you don't tell the devil where to go, he's going to hang around. Do I have biblical proof? Yes. When Jesus was in that town and the devil was in the man legion and Jesus was going to cast them out, they needed somewhere to go, didn't they? So they said, well, send us to the pigs. And that's exactly what he did, and they ran off the cliff. You've got to tell the devil where to go. Another example, Jesus and Peter. Peter speaks up and said, Jesus, these things will never happen to you. And Jesus said, no, you don't even speak the things of my Father, not at all. Satan, where did he say? Get where? Behind me. Tell him where to go. You got to get out of here. Do we understand? This isn't even the message, but the Holy Spirit's got me speaking this, so we've got to understand. I felt a spirit of grief and sadness in here, and it's got to go. We cannot live that way. We are lights, and we can't be dim lights. We've got to be bright lights. Las Vegas doesn't have dim lights, do they? Bright neon lights everywhere, getting everyone's attention. So when we're not getting anybody's attention at all, we don't live to get to victory. We fight from victory. From a fortified place, from what Jesus Christ has done for us, the victory is already ours. Already. Say, it's mine. You must understand that victory is already yours. It's been settled, and the courts of heaven have ruled in your favor. Judgment is for you, not for the enemy. Don't have fear that the enemy is going to do what he came to do. He's always going to try. That's his job, is to try. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's going to try to steal from you. He's going to try to kill you. And he's going to try to destroy you. But can you say, but? Jesus said, I have come. Don't forget about Jesus. That's what the enemy tries to do, is get your mind on the cares of this world. And he's trying to make you think that it's all about what you can do. And then when you inventory yourself, I don't have the finances, I don't have the strength, I don't have the this, I don't have the that, and then you sit down in defeat. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That is pretty depressing. If I'm going to fight under my own power and under my own resources, that is pretty sad. But can you say, but God? I tell you to keep a lot of things in your pocket. So you've got a nevertheless in one pocket. In the other pocket, you need a but God. Okay? The nevertheless is so that you can always be denying yourself, that you don't seek to do your own will. So you say, you know what? Nope. Nevertheless, not my will. Okay? And the but God is in your other pocket. Hope you got lots of pockets. The but God is in your other pocket. When the devil begins to beat you down, and he will try to get you to look at your own self, to make you look at defeat, and you might feel yourself sinking, but I'm just asking you to spiritually begin to go into your pocket and get that but God. Because that but God turns it all around. The but God chases off the dark clouds, and you get the birds singing again and the sun coming out because you got that but God. You know what? I'm not going to look at just me, because there's something that's greater in me than in this world. The Word of God says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. How do we activate, though? You're saying, Pastor, it feels so good. Like, yes, you're pulling me out of this funk I've been in. How do I do that at all times? Listen, Pastor has a job. I can't preach to you, come to your house and preach you out of your depression and sadness. But guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit on board, the Spirit of truth. Stop and rest and listen and say, God, help me. Give me a word. Give me something to build my life on. Throw me a lifeline. What's a lifeline? A lifeline is every word that has ever come out of the mouth of God is a lifeline. Because we understand that men cannot live by bread alone. Because listen, brothers and sisters, we cannot eat ourselves out of depression. At the bottom of the ice cream bucket is still loss and sadness. After that Kewpie burger has been dissolved to just a wrapper, there is still just sadness and defeat. You cannot eat natural food and pull yourself up out of a funk. You need spiritual food. You need the bread of heaven. You need to say, Lord, what do you say about this situation? And then when you consume that verse, it is like taking on the very nature of God, because God is his word. And when you take in his word, you reactivate the spirit of God that's living on the inside of you. Your spirit man is willing to fight. But there's times where your spirit man is weak because we have only catered to the natural side. We've only catered to the new Roseanne. We've only catered to CNN. We've only catered to the things of this world. And then we wonder why we have no power when the test comes and when the trial comes. What have we been eating? Your faith has to be fed. Say this with me. My faith must be fed. Has to be. You cannot live on natural food alone. The only way that your faith is going to stand is if you are feeding it, and that it is strong, and that you have had a healthy diet of the Word of God and a healthy dose of the presence of God. Do you understand that? Nothing, not husband, not wife. I'm not the one that brings Brooke happiness, and if she's here, she'll say amen real loud. I'm not her source of joy. So single people, don't think that just because you're married, your spouse is going to be your source of joy and everything will be better. You better know right away that there's only one source of joy in this universe, and his name is Jesus. He is our source of joy. And the word of God says this, in his presence is fullness of joy. I don't know why I'm about to say this, but pink Starburst, I like them. But you know what? 5 to 7 seconds, and that joy is gone. Do you understand that? That's how this world is, isn't it? The things are joyous they take your mind off things just for a moment. But after we've had that satisfaction, the enemy is still there and just ready to throw another blow. Do you understand that? So that's why the word of God says it's a fight, isn't it? It's not always singing hallelujah. You're not always going to feel good. You're going to be in a fight for your life. And the word of God says that we must fight the good fight of what? Faith. You've got to fight the good fight of faith, but you need an arsenal to believe in. There was a song out there, a carnal song that said, give me something to believe in. You need something to believe in. You need a word from the Lord, and that's what we're talking about tonight is revelation. You need something to stand on. And the word of God says that a wise man hears what the Lord says and does it, and he counts that as building his house upon a rock. But a foolish man hears what the Lord says and does not do it, and he counts that as a foolish man that has built his house upon the sand. And then when the storm comes, and say, it will come. The storms come. If you've been saved since 1982, you've had storms all the way back from 1982. They don't just skip years. The storms come. Do you know why? Because we've got a target on our backs. Because we have declared that we are not going to be anti-Christ. We're going to be pro-Christ. And when you are pro-Christ in an anti-Christ world, you're going to stand out. And people are going to challenge you. And what I've learned that sometimes that challenge will even come from people in the church. Because listen, you better know what God said to you. And you better stand on the revelation that he gave you. Or someone with lesser faith will come and contaminate that word and cause your faith to spill over into fear and make you question God and what he said. What God said is life or death. If you believe it, you can have life. And if you disregard it, you will have death. We must understand that the word of God is true. The promises of God are yes and amen. Do we understand that? Say this with me. I need a revelation. You need a revelation. You need to know either the spoken word of God or you need to know the written word of God. However it is delivered, you need a word from God because it never, ever fails. Depression comes from this. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and it seems like I'm just going in circles. Seems I'm like I'm not getting anywhere in this world. And do you know what? If you would look down, you would see sand between your toes. Do you know why? Because we've been building our house, building our life on sand. Now, I know some of you said, well, I would love some sand between my toes right now with the weather the way it's been. But we're talking spiritual, so stay with me. We don't want to build our houses the way that seems right. Because if the storm, and every storm from the devil represents death, he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. There are no friendly storms that come from the enemy. He's trying to take you out every time. So fighting the good fight of faith is making sure that you stand and you build your house upon the word of God. And that's it. I don't need ideas. I don't need imagination. I need revelation. You do not need imagination when it's life or death. You do not need to be saying, well, I hope this works. When it's life or death, you need to know it works. And the only way we're ever going to know it works is if God said it. Build your life on scriptures. I've been trying to tell you all over and over again, when you are going through problems in life, it's so very important that you, if you're going to use Google for God, okay? And Google scriptures about depression, scriptures about anger. And you print that thing off, and I'm telling you, it works faster than the fastest sleep aid or painkiller that there is out there. Because God said it. The same God that said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw the light, and it was good. The same God that spoke the earth into the universe and spoke things and spoke things and spoke things, and at the end said, it was good. He always makes his word good. He always makes it good. I don't care if you prayed it on Monday and 4 Mondays later, you still haven't seen it come good. I'm telling you, don't move. Stay on the word of God because he is not a liar. You see, the devil wants us to be movement. He wants us to move in feelings. He is the God of the little God of this world, and he moves through emotions. He moves through feelings, and he moves through sight. So that's why the word of God says we don't walk by sight. I don't care what I see. I wish we would declare that in Jesus' name. Say this with me. I don't care what I see. You've got to know that. These eyes lie. The word of God says that the things that we see are temporal. Woo! That problem is temporal. That situation is temporal. That enemy is temporal. That sickness is temporal. The things that we see are temporal, but the things that we cannot see are eternal. Well, you know what? I can't see God's word, but I can stand on it, and every time I stand on it, it holds me up because it's unseen, but I believe. Your faith is so necessary. Your faith is just as necessary as the engine in your car. You can put as much gas in that thing as you want, but if there's no engine, you're not going anywhere. You can hear as many sermons as you want, but if there's no faith, your life won't move at all. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why would God be so offended by lack of faith? Jesus was always, ye of little faith. Why would he be so offended by a lack of faith? I'll tell you why. Because one of his names is truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if God said it, and his name is truth, and if you don't believe it, he's going to find that frustrating. Not only frustrating, but it's going to be impossible to please him because you don't believe him. Do you understand that? And those that come to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Do you understand that? Your faith moves God, but your feelings don't. Woo! Did you hear that? Your faith moves the hand of God towards you, but your feelings don't. Feelings are all over the place. But faith should remain, and faith should stay and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Just like Job was able to say, Lord, although you slay me, yet will I trust you. This isn't the word I planned on preaching tonight at all, but as I was in the office laying back there, he said, don't pick that thing up. That's my iPad. That's where my sermon is. And, you know, I got a little nervous back there. Can I admit that I'm a man and I have these dangerous things called feelings? And sometimes your feelings will cause you to disobey God, because your feelings want comfort. Your feelings are not after displeasure. Your feelings are not after being uncomfortable. Your feelings are always moving towards comfort, even if it's the thing God doesn't want for you. So we cannot afford to walk by feelings. If the devil knows that you're a person that walks by feelings, do you know that on every hand, he's going to have something to get you worked up? Do you understand that? So it's time to pull the plug on feelings. Pastor's not telling you to be heartless. I'm telling you that you can't let feelings rule you. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. We live by faith. And we must be careful sometimes. The Word of God says that we shouldn't cast our pearls among swine. It means that we shouldn't always tell people that are not on the same level as us about what you believe in God for, because they don't have the same faith or vision you do. And if you're not careful, the enemy will start spewing things from them to make you reevaluate what God said. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? For us to reevaluate what God has already said. But that's what happens when we get in our feelings. Feelings are a dangerous thing, and feelings are carnal. Feelings are not spiritual, they are carnal. Faith is spiritual. So in order to move in faith, we must move by his Spirit. And everything we do, it must be through the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me, or I see the Father do it. Many of us have dug our own holes. Everything we fall in, we dug it. Because we've got a good shepherd, and our shepherd leads us to good places, still waters, green pastures. So many of the places that we find ourselves, God didn't lead us there, feelings did. Because do you know what drives feelings? Those thoughts that seem right. Well, it's the way I felt. It's the way I felt at the time. It seemed like the right decision. Faith has nothing to do with seems. Faith knows for a fact that this is what God said, and I'm going to trust it, and even when it hurts, and even when people are laughing, and even when people don't understand, people are still saying, you're still believing for that? Yes, I am. Your faith pleases God. It is so pleasing to the Father. We must never separate ourselves from our faith and get back into our feelings. He desires that we know the difference between our carnal thoughts and our spiritual thoughts. Fear, carnal. Worry, carnal. A certain type of anger that leads to sin and worry, carnal. There's a righteous anger, but that's not us most of the time. Okay? Carnal. We've got to know when we're under attack, because listen, when we are carnal-minded, it gives the enemy a wider area of our life to work with. It gives him ground. When we think carnal thoughts and we're moving in feelings and doing what we like, it opens up the gates and the enemy can work. Because remember I told you he works in emotions and feelings and lies and sight and all those things. But we've got to shut that down. The word of God says, I have not given you that spirit. So we cancel out those thoughts of being carnal minded. And the only where there's peace, the only where there's rest. How many have been thinking about this chair occasionally? The only where there is rest, truly, is from the spiritual mind. And the only way to enter into rest is to stop our own activity. Shut it down. Unplug that carnival. Just shut it down. I'm tired of riding this ride. I'm tired of being up and down. I'm tired of this. Let's unplug that carnal thinking and say, Lord, this situation is yours. And you know what he says? Thank you. That's faith. When you pass a situation on to the Father, that's what he asks for. I mean, I don't have anybody else asking for my problems. I don't have anyone else asking for my care, saying, Pastor, cast your cares on me because I care for you. No, only the Lord can do that. So why do we hold on to the cares of this world when Jesus is ready to fix them? Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for the word that you've given me to say to your people. May we walk this thing out, God. Help us to not be ignorant to the enemy's devices. Help us to see how he keeps getting in, keeps getting in, keeps getting in. Help us, Father God, to be able to recognize the attack. And what the attack does, brothers and sisters, is it tries to get you out of rest back into activity. He wants you to get out of your spiritual rest and back in carnal activity. Because in carnal activity, he can play his games with you. But as long as you are spiritually at rest, the enemy has no access to you unless you give him your peace or give him your rest. So we must stay with the mind of Christ at all times. So, Father, we thank you for victory that comes from your name. We thank you for rest. We thank you for revelation, Lord. We thank you for empowering us. We thank you for giving us the strategy and the know-how. And God, we just truly do praise you for victory in every situation. Help us to stand up and understand and realize that the victorious one lives in us. And we are more than conquerors. Father, we bless you and thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your excitement when it comes to the Word of God, because